You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
China's relationship with New Zealand has been under particular scrutiny in recent weeks. Over the past few years, Beijing has asserted more and more control over Hong Kong and have also been accused of genocide against Muslim minorities. The government has stopped short of being as critical of China as other countries such as Australia and the United States, but has still started to speak out. I spoke to director of the China Studies Centre at the University of Auckland, Stephen Noakes, about New Zealand and China's relationship. We spoke about New Zealand's unique trade relationship with China, which goes back decades, the role of other countries in domestic affairs, and whether declarations against China will actually do anything. I started by asking him why New Zealand and China's relationship has been in the news in recent weeks.
The reason you've been hearing more about this, I think, well, there's a few reasons. One is that there's been a slight language shift in the way the government talks about its relationship with China. In the days before the current Labour government, there was a real reticence or reluctance to be too openly critical of China because they were trying to finalize an upgrade to the free trade deal and so forth. But just in the last couple of weeks, there have been some instances where very prominent representatives of the current Labour government have started to use words that they haven't used before, including the foreign minister who made reference to debt trap diplomacy by China in the South Pacific, as well as the prime minister herself, who a couple of days ago mentioned that she had grave concerns over the human rights situation in Xinjiang. So there's that. There's the language shift within the government itself. The other thing is that China's important to New Zealand. And New Zealand is, well, a small country at the bottom of the world. It's quite dependent on the so-called rules-based order and on China to buy what it produces. And so business interests across the country are quite keenly attuned to any perceived shift in that space, which is, I think, why this story is getting the play it is.
And so this shift, as they talk differently about China, and there's some human rights issues. Could you go a little bit into that? What are the specifics of what China's been accused of?
So I think at the moment, there are two main hot-button issues. One concerns the ongoing situation in Hong Kong, which is fundamentally about changes to the nature of Hong Kong's democracy and what protesters there and some within the pro-democracy camp in particular feel is undue or perhaps early influence from Beijing that would lead to the dismantling of the one country, two systems arrangement that's supposed to remain intact until 2047. The other, which I think a lot of listeners will be aware of, is the evolving human rights situation in Xinjiang. In particular, the detention of very large numbers of practitioners of Islam, and others perceived to have dissident leanings in the country, in not exactly prisons, but large camps, in effect.
And so, as you say, it has become a huge topic. Yesterday, Parliament passed a motion declaring that severe human rights abuses are occurring against the Uyghur people and against Muslim minorities. The motion that Parliament passed, do you think this is useful? Will it do anything, or is it just symbolic?
I think it's mostly symbolic. I think it's notable that they did not take the step that a number of other countries, which New Zealand typically considers its peers, have done, which is use the word genocide.
Why was this distinction made?
Because that's a hot-button word. Maybe we're splitting hairs, but avoiding use of that word in particular was probably felt by New Zealand's government to be advantageous for the sake of trade relationships and maintaining what is actually still a very good bilateral relationship with China, at least relative to other countries. It's nowhere near as bad as the Australia-China relationship or the Canada-China relationship, both of which have, I think, been poisoned to the degree that I'm not sure how they could be salvaged.
Do you think New Zealand's relationship with China could deteriorate? The Chinese embassy said of the motion, it grossly interferes in China's internal affairs. Do you think if the government keeps along this path, relations could get worse?
There's a chance, yeah. But I think it would take a lot to get to that point. These are, I don't want to say they're just words, because words do matter, as the previous example of avoiding the G word kind of illustrates. But as I say, there's a huge difference between the nature and tone of New Zealand-China relations and, say, Australia-China relations. There's always that risk, of course, that if New Zealand continues to talk in ways China doesn't like, that there will be diplomatic and possibly economic consequences. But I think we're a long way from that still.
What do you think the government's, it is speculative, but what do you think the government's going to do next?
I don't know is the answer to that question. I was surprised, actually, to hear some of the things I've heard from prominent Labour Party officials in the last couple of weeks. There's a part of me that wants to say, look, as New Zealand and China become more aware of each other, these issues are going to keep resurfacing. And there are, in New Zealand, various camps staking out claims on the China issue. There are China phobes, there are China files, and that makes the issue of how the government grapples with China or deals with China a domestic political one. And so it could just be that maybe the Labour Party has some polling or something that shows how their supporters expect them to position themselves on China. It might not actually have to do with international relations per se. It might just be that all politics are local.
So you mentioned before China's, I think you could call it, aggressive action in Hong Kong. And there has also been talks or threats made by China of potentially trying to assert control over Taiwan. Do you think New Zealand would continue sitting by if there was action taken in that regard?
Probably, yeah, because I don't think that New Zealand, other than using words, could really do a lot about it, to be honest with you. And there is indeed, I think, a perfectly valid debate out there about what exactly is happening in the context of Hong Kong. It is sovereign PRC territory. To call the actions of the Beijing government there aggressive might resonate with some, but would we consider the actions of Wellington aggressive if helicopters were to land on Stewart Island? Probably not. As far as China's concerned, it is their sovereign territory. Taiwan has a similar ring when you speak about it in Beijing, but the difference is, first of all, Taiwan has a very advanced missile defense system built and purchased for them mostly by the United States government, and the U.S. and many of its treaty partners and allies are bound by international law to not come to Taiwan's defense, but to give it the capabilities to defend itself. And I sometimes wonder if the world appreciates just how developed that ability to defend the island really is.
Broadly, how do you think New Zealand, can they balance being ethical and being economically successful? It's a question that was also raised earlier this year when it was revealed Air New Zealand had a contract with the Saudi Arabian Navy.
Again, this is one of those really complicated questions that I do not know the answer to. There is a large part of me that wants to say, look, China's going to be China whether we sell milk there or not, so we might as well just sell milk there. But there are limits. There would come a point if the government continued to talk tough on China when a very clear line in the sand would be drawn by Beijing and say, look, no more, we can't have this. Are there other trade relationships we could seek out? I think that there probably are, yeah. And the foreign minister as much as said that. She said, we don't want to put all our eggs in a single basket. That to me is a very reasonable and very smart thing for the foreign minister of a small country at the bottom of the world to say. Diversification is good. Why not?
That was something I wanted to touch on. How did New Zealand get to this situation where we rely so much on one country?
Well, in a sense, it's always sort of been like that. New Zealand has always been quite dependent, if you want to use that word, on those kinds of relationships. Before the deregulation of the 80s and 90s, much of New Zealand's product went to the UK. But then with the advance of the European community and so forth, the UK became closer drawn to the continent. It was clear New Zealand wasn't going to be able to depend on that relationship anymore. So it was forced to look elsewhere. Just at the moment, these East Asian economies were starting to come into their own. and China was an opportunity that presented itself. I think it's probably dangerous for just about any country, not only New Zealand, but any country, to be excessively reliant on one trading partner like that. Diversification's good.
One of the key issues raised around the recent discussion of New Zealand and China's relationship is New Zealand's Western partners, namely Australia, Canada, the US and the UK. As they escalate tensions with China, could that potentially damage New Zealand's relationship with them?
Yes, in a sense. I've started to feel like Australia understands, of course, the regional responsibilities and pressures that New Zealand has. Canadians, by and large, do not. And I'm, you know, the Biden White House has announced recently they're going to start allocating greater resources than they have been to the South Pacific. But I wonder just how well appreciated New Zealand's history with China and regional circumstances actually are in the UK, US, and Canada. You know what? I just said diversification is good. How about the United States buy more milk? Or wine, or icebreaker stuff, or whatever, right? That would go some distance, I think, to alleviating this relationship on China, which many in the US, particularly hawkish folks in the security community, find quite troubling.
There's one final thing I'd like to touch on, and again, this is a really broad question. Do you think it's possible at all to stop or prevent some of the action that China is taking? Is harming trade, any of this from the United States, from big powerhouses, can they actually do anything about this?
Probably not. It is, on the basis of my expertise, experience, whatever you want to call it, extremely rare, by which I mean basically non-existent, that foreigners observing China from the outside succeed in convincing the Beijing central government to follow a course of action it doesn't already favor for its own reasons. China is not South Africa. I don't expect that external pressure from around the world will bring a regime to its knees.
Do you see the likely future progression just China continuing down the path they are going on now? In terms of the action they've taken towards Hong Kong, the threats made to Taiwan, the treatment of the Uyghur people, as China becomes a huge powerhouse, is just going to keep happening?
Yeah, and I'm here to tell you that none of the things that you just mentioned are seen by really anyone associated with the central government in Beijing as bad in any way. In fact, they feel quite righteous and justified in the actions being taken. It's a big world, and some people think differently, and oftentimes there isn't much you can do to persuade those people of a different course of action. We can speak up and take a stance against it, or not, but I think you got to ask who that stance would be taken for. Is it about changing China, or is it about being honest with ourselves and being able to look ourselves in the mirror and with some integrity say, here's what we will stand for and here's what we won't stand for?
That was Stephen Noakes, director of the China Studies Centre at the University of Auckland, on New Zealand's relationship with China.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.